Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 in the series of How Jamaica Conquered the World. Just a few notes before today's pod. I'm part of the organising committee of Festival Jamaica 2012, which is a showcase of Jamaican culture which will take place in London during the Olympics, running from July 27th to August the 12th. Please head over to festivaljamaica2012.com for more details and to purchase tickets. Also, this show features the very knowledgeable Wayne Marshall, an ethnomusicologist from MIT in the States. Wayne will become a regular voice in the series. You can check out his rather excellent blog at wayneandwax.com. To find more information on how Jamaica conquered the world, please go to our website, which is howjamaicaconqueredtheworld.com, or check out our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/howjamaica.
How Jamaica Conquered the World is officially endorsed by Jamaica 50.
This is the story of how one small island conquered the world.
Jamaican patois.
And a fair start, Asafa Powell. Usain Bolt is also out well. Here they come down the track. Usain Bolt!
It's a story of music, sport, and style. How its rhythms, athletes, and language went global.
Pull up, pull up!
This is how Jamaica conquered the world.
Set it! Set it!
In 1962, Jamaica took its place in the Brotherhood of Nations.
Gather together, be brothers and sisters, we're independent.
Its sons and daughters in ever larger numbers left the island to work on foreign shores. In this time of change, music, the lifeblood of its people, started to evolve and to become distinct, not just a copy of US blues and rock and roll.
My name is Wayne Marshall. I'm a musicologist from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Right around the same time that Jamaica was, you know, officially gaining independence, it also happened that the Jamaican sort of studio system and local sound system scene and band scene was also really coming into its own with the rise of the ska sound. And as a result, you know, a lot of people hear that kind of up-tempo ebullience of ska really sort of going hand in hand with the joy and optimism of independence and self-determination and all that.
Skatalites took the music from the movie, put it to the ska, came up with the song, it's called Ba! Ba!
Some of the seminal sound system operators like Coxon Dodd and Duke Reed had, for the last few years, been getting increasingly into the recording business, and the ska sound was also sort of, as it were, putting Jamaica on the map. It's ska. A lot of people even say that ska, the term itself, is onomatopoeic, in that it's referring to this central driving accent on the offbeat. This ska, 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 ska.
Feel like jumping.
You know, some of the first, you know, big ska records were done by the Skatalites, were done by Prince Buster, and you know, generally we're talking about, you know, the best players in Jamaica, these instrumentalists, many of whom had gone to the Alpha School for Boys and sort of cut their teeth there, many of whom were really devoted jazz instrumentalists.
Al Capone guns don't hurt you.
One early and important ska record, although, you know, very poppy in its way, was Millie Small's, you know, My Boy Lollipop. Which was not only, you know, a local hit, but was a big crossover hit in the UK, and was actually one of Chris Blackwell's first efforts at doing, you know, overseas promotion and distribution and all that. So it really kind of established his footing in the reggae industry, but in particular with the job of kind of bringing that Jamaican sound over to England. In the late 60s, usually people mark it around 1966 or so, when the center of the sound in Jamaica shifts from ska to what people start to call rock steady, in part, you know, because it's associated with a dance that, as the name implies, is a little bit slower, a little bit more mellow. It's a, you know, more of a rocking instead of the sort of quite upbeat dances associated with ska. There are a lot of stories for why this happened, this kind of slowing down. One thing to note is that not all rock steady songs were necessarily so slow, but quite a few of them, I think, were at that time, you know, still very influenced by the contemporary sound of U.S. pop, and especially African-American pop and R&B. So you have the sort of Motown and Stax sound, the soul sound emerging. And in a lot of ways, you can hear Rocksteady as being, you know, the sort of Jamaican take on soul, especially if you listen to crooners like, you know, Alton Ellis and so forth. Some people say that 66 was a really hot summer, and so they wanted slower music. I haven't been able to verify that. You know, I think another big thing that happened is that basically the band broke up. You know, the Skatalites, who used to be the sort of premier big band on the island, sort of went their separate ways. About half of them to Duke Reed's studio, and about half of them to Coxon's studio. Another really important factor in contributing to Rocksteady's difference from ska was the advent of the electric bass. So once that came in, the bass could take on a very different role than it had in the ska era, when you had basically an upright bass playing sort of jazz-style walking bass lines. Now you could have the bass really step in front as a melodic instrument. It could, play lines that were more like the melodies the vocalists were singing than simply a kind of chordal accompaniment, a kind of, you know, arpeggio of the underlying harmonies. And so you often have a lot of songs where, in fact, the bass is essentially playing the melody. And so this is also where we see, Jamaica's sort of reputation for a place of bass also really start to come into its own. There's already, I think, a predilection for bass there, and that's also something that gets cultivated and strengthened in sound system culture, where people are going and experiencing the music in real time through, you know, really quite powerful and custom designed sound systems. And so there's that feedback loop that really starts to get going around this time between the studios and what they're playing and arranging in those studios and the sound systems, where they can essentially test out their new recordings, break hits, and all that sort of thing.
This is the days of Rock Eastwood. I am the ugly.
ugly one. If you want me, meet me at the big gun down.
Especially with there with the rise of the electric bass and increasingly with multi-track recording, that kind of thing, you start to get a pretty different sounding textures. And a lot of these bass and keyboard centered riffs end up really laying the foundation for, you know, the next 20, if not 40 years of reggae. You know, a lot of the rhythms that have been versioned over and over and over again in the years since were originally recorded during the, you know, the Rocksteady era from 66 to about 68 or so.
No, no, no.
Out of the darkness into the light, Jah gave me hope, Jah gave me light.
Rhythms ushered in slowing down of ska, another Jamaican invention was poised to change the face of music across the world. Once just a selector of music, the DJ was about to come to the fore, talking over music and exciting the crowd. Called toasting in Jamaica, this would become rap in the States. Next time we look at U-Roy, King Stitz, the studios and dub plates, and the rise of the DJ and how Jamaica conquered the world.
At this stop, it's Hot Pop! Wow! Get out of here, everyone! Rather blow them blows like they never blow before.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.